can speak to us. And he can speak to us in a Sunday morning, and he can speak to us through a donkey, and he can even speak to us through a man from Denmark. I have a sermon today that I believe is to encourage some people. How many are ready for an encouragement from God? And it comes out of 1 Peter chapter 1, the gospel in the living hope. And let's read it together. May God bless you richly and grant you increasing freedom from all anxiety and fear. How many likes to be free of all anxiety and fear? So here it comes, how we do that. Go on to the next part, verse 3 to verse 8. If it's on there. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And let's just read one more. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you have been endured many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far from more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. How many says amen to that? So my friends, you're born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is hope? Hope, my friends, has two parts to it, an expectations and desire. And so, whatever you believe will satisfy your desires, that's your hope. Whatever you believe will satisfy your desires, that's your hope. And in reality, my friends, mankind cannot live without hope. When a human being ceases to have hope, he ceases to will to want to live. Hope is integrated in a human spirit. The problem is this, my friends, that many times we place our hope in things that will not last, in things that perish. You know, it says in Isaiah 55, it says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? As a young man, I had dreams. I had longings of what might satisfy. I thought my happiness would come if I built a house in the hills. And so I built a house in the hills, but it didn't satisfy. Then I got married, and I thought that sure would do it. And you know what? My wife is wonderful, and she's a blessing from God. We're going to celebrate our 37th anniversary this coming week. But even though she's perfect next to it, I want to say that it didn't satisfy. There was something in me that was not filled. And then I thought, well, I got to get a career. So I became a teacher. And I became a principal at a little Christian school. But my friends, all these things in themselves, they're not satisfying. And you see, when you're young, There is a discontent in every human being. But when you are young, you have an illusion. And you believe that somehow, if I just get through school, and then I will have it done. If I just can get a career, then I will have it done. If I can just get money, then I will have it done. If I can just, and you have these, and there's nothing wrong with dreams and careers, but it won't satisfy the deepest longing of human being. But you can be fooled to think it would. I was in Denmark, and I talked to my brother-in-law up here, who has been an accountant for 40 years, and he said, "Hans, I know what money does to people." He said, I have had clients that were with me, and they were friends, and then they got rich, and he said, they became the most miserable people you can imagine. In fact, several of my clients, I had to tell them, go and find another accountant. I don't want to do it for you. Because as they became more possessed with money, they became more worried and fearful that they won't have enough. And they thought that they had enough, but then it wasn't enough, so they had to have more. And he said, there were miserable people to be around. And he said, I know what money does to people. But you see, all these things that we put our hope in this world, they perish. They won't last. And God of heaven doesn't want us to live from earth to heaven. He wants us to live from heaven to earth. I know that requires some explanation, and I'll get there in a minute. How many knows that everything you see disappears? Everything. But there is something that never will. And that is the promise of God for your life. You see, there's a living hope. And when you end up with hope in Jesus Christ, you will not hang on to these things of the earth because they fade away. But I know. I know that in this journey of faith, we all need some encouragement. How many know that's true? It's kind of ringing. And God knows that too. God knows that you need encouragement on this journey. I heard the story the other day. I read the story the other day of a man called King Gob. King Gob was a gospel singer. And the gospel singer, he traveled with his wife and family and a team. And at first he was on fire for Jesus. And he wrote songs and he sang them, but after a while it became dry, and he lost the fire, and he sang the same words over and over and over, and there no longer was the fire and the conviction in them, and he shared the same stories and the same sermons, and he lost the zeal, and he began to think to himself, you know, maybe I should quit and do something else. Maybe I should have a job like 9 to 5 and stay home, and you know, it feels like God has forgotten my phone number, that he doesn't even know where I am. I'm on the road all the time. And so King Gob, they come to a little village, and they stop the bus, and they got off the bus, and his family went to have lunch, and he decided to stay behind to pray. How many sometimes are desperate for a little encouragement from heaven? And so he prayed. And then he got thirsty. And he saw a little gas station. And he decided to walk to the gas station to get a pop. As he's walking, he hears a phone ring. This was before cell phones. And he looked around, wondering where that phone where that phone is, and he see a phone booth. How many remember phone booths? Yeah. And he goes to the phone booth. He said, "That's strange. Nobody ever calls the phone booth." He opens the door. He walks in. He picks up the phone. And the operator says, "This is a phone call, person to person. Is this Gen Garp?" How many think that's shocking? He said, "Yes, it's me. There's a lady on the phone who wants to talk to you." The lady on the phone says, "I want to commit suicide. And I had watched you on TV, singing the gospel songs and talking about Jesus. And I thought, if there's a Jesus that King Garb knows, I want to know him too. Maybe he can rescue me from suicide." And as he prayed that prayer, or cried out to a God she didn't know, she saw some numbers. And she discerned that it must be a telephone number. And without knowing where it was and who it was for sure, hoping that was Ken Garb, she dialed the number. And it was a telephone booth just a few feet away from where Ken Garb was walking. And he received encouragement, because God knew where he was. He hadn't forgot his phone number. He hadn't forgotten his cry. And he was able to minister to this lady the love of Jesus and lead her to faith and hope. And for the next few months, he continued to phone and minister, him and his wife. And she was able to be set free from suicidal thoughts and find hope in life again. But what's also very important is that Ken Garb renewed his calling and walk with God. Amen. When I read the scriptures, I see that God calls us to be citizens of heaven, but he knows that we need encouragement on the journey. And when I see Abraham, and God says, You're gonna have a great nation. And he was, well, how old was he? 75. His wife was beyond childbearing, had no kids. Another 10 years goes by and nothing. How many things he was about to lose faith? And God says to him, "Abraham, go and look up in the sky." And he's looking up in the sky. He says, "You're going to have as many descendants as the stars in the sky." How many thinks he needed to hear that? I mean, he did mess up a bit, but he needed to hear that. And finally, when he was 99, two angels shows up and talk to him and gave him the promise. Jesus was given a calling. He started his ministry. But halfway through the ministry, he has the Mount of Transfiguration, and he goes up there and he hears the voice of God. "This is my son." On this journey of faith, we need encouragement. We serve a God of hope. Here it comes. Here comes the truth. You see, many times we set our hope on things that will bring discouragement eventually. And see, there's a hope that comes because of what Jesus did. There's a hope that comes because of what he did on the cross. That destines you and I not for life on earth, but for life for eternity. And how you see your future, how you see the hope that's before you, determines how you live today. I'm not just living for today. I'm living for eternity. And here is where the danger comes. You see, I love my wife, but she's not my first love. You see, if she was my first love, I will put unreal expectations on her, because I'll expect her to satisfy my desires in a way that really she could not ever do. And so I will frustrate myself, but also frustrate her. She'd be asked to do something she could never really do. That's not for her to do. And I'll begin to try to control her and be miserable. But see, if God is first in my life and my hope is in Him, I will be able to love her the way she deserves to be loved. Not as somebody who exists to satisfy my desires, but somebody who is uniquely created in the image of God, who deserves my unconditional love. We may place our hope in wealth, material things, even in family. Sometimes your hope is in your kids. And there's nothing wrong with loving your kids. That's wonderful. But your identity and destiny is not how well your kids do. Because if it is, you'll put an unreal expectations on them and they will crush them. You are to put your heart first on God and you will be able to love your kids and discipline them the way they deserve to be disciplined. They don't exist to meet your needs. They exist to glorify Jesus. And I know it's shocking, but my good looks will not last. Look at my wedding pictures. Someday, you'll sit and the wrinkles are coming. And the hairlines is different. When I was married, I had a beard like this and long hair. It's slowly getting grayer. Muhammad Ali. How many of you remember Muhammad Ali? What did he do? In his last few years, he sat in an old folks' home. He sat in a home suffering from Parkinson's disease. He couldn't even wipe himself. I know it's pretty morbid and maybe not too encouraging right now, but I want to tell you that it's the truth that this body and this life disappears. Everything, you know, our wealth, our health, our business, our careers, it's not going to satisfy in the eternity. There's really only one thing that will satisfy. That's the promise of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are like grass, right? And it falls and withers, and so do we. But there's something that will last for all eternity. That's the Word of God. So here comes the hope. The hope is that Jesus Christ came to the cross. And on the cross, He took your record of wrongdoing. And He took my record of wrongdoing. And He went and did what I deserved. So I could get what I did not deserve. His life. And then He rose again. So that you and I will also rise again to all eternity in heaven. And in heaven, the Bible says, we just read it, there is stored up an inheritance. There is stored up a treasure for you. How many likes to have an inheritance? How many knows you didn't deserve it? But it's given to you. And what is this? In verse 8, 1 Peter, verse 8, I think it is, 7, 8, somewhere like that. Just go to verse 7. He goes on to say that there's trials. But after the trials, how many have ever had trials? But he says, if you hang on, keeping your hope in Jesus Christ, then this is what is stored up for you. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor in the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. Do you know who this praise and honor and glory is for? Do you know who it's for? When you get into heaven, because you hung on to your faith and trust in God, he's saying the praise and the glory and honor is for you. It's for you. This day, when you live not for yourself, but for him, there is a promise given to you that when you one day see Jesus, either when he comes back or when you die and go into heaven, he's going to praise you. He's going to honor you for your faithfulness. That's stored up in heaven for you. And in that heaven, you'll have a brand new body, a new life. No tears, no crying. How many things that's amen? This world is only preparation for what's coming. Jesus took what belonged to us that we will have what belongs to him. And what belongs to him in honor, glory, and praise. And you know what Jesus prays in John 17? He says, Lord, may you love them as you love me. When you hope it's in Jesus, you recognize your life on earth is only temporarily, but you're not destined for this earth. You have been given a citizenship in heaven, but you're destined for eternity to be with him. Why did Jesus Christ come and die on the cross? Why did he suffer? Not for the crowns. He already had crowns. He went because he saw the joy set before him. And do you know what the joy is? It's you. It's you. You are his happy thoughts. You are his joy. For the sake of humanity, I'm going to redeem them. And then I'm going to pay not with gold and silver, but with the precious blood. Because he wants you to be with him for all eternity. Death has no power over you when you believe that. The earth has no power over you when you believe that. And when you believe that, people are not just people, but they are either lost people or they are brothers and sisters in Christ. They are either people on a journey to discover God, or there are people who are his. And you are broken for those who don't know him. And rejoice with your brothers and sisters who do. So here comes the last question. And I have 5 minutes, 10 minutes to get there. How do I get that hope? How do I get it? How many have heard of Joni Erickson Tada? One person. Okay, come on. How many has ever heard of this? And it's okay if you haven't, okay? But how many have ever heard of a lady called Joan Erickson Tada? Okay. Nope. She was famous about 20 years ago. She was 17 years old, 1967, I think it was. and she died. She had everything going for her. She was most popular in school. She had academics, top marks. She could swim. She loved the academics. She could play guitars. She was a singer. She was a painter. She made amazing paintings. She wasn't the things she couldn't do. But one day, she died into a pool of water, and she broke her neck. And she lost all her dreams. Her ability she couldn't use her hands. She had no feelings on her hands, no feelings in her legs. And the only thing that worked for her was her head. How many remember the story? And so she went, how many knows that's very discouraging? Here, you had everything going for you. You had all kinds of dreams of what were you going to do with your life. And suddenly, it's all gone. How many knows that's very discouraging? You know, you set your hope on the future, and you can see yourself being an athlete and an artist, and man, it's all gone. The very things she was so good at, she no longer could do. And so, she became bitter. After a year of therapy, she was angry at God. But there came a point, and this is my point of the sermon, where she decided, I'm either going to die in bitterness, or I'm going to love Jesus, believing that he still has a plan for my life. There came a moment of decision where she said, I believe that God is still there. He still has a plan. And she stepped into that. She made that decision, and she began to love Jesus. You know what? The answer is here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. So he says, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious praise. She began to praise him and love Jesus. And when she began to love Jesus, she began to dream again that she could paint. She had no arms to paint with, so she put the brush in her mouth. And she began to brush painting with her mouth. And she made amazing pictures. But it was a struggle. She began to type books and write books. I think she wrote a biography that came out as the number one seller in 1976 or something like that. She wrote 40 books. She preached. She has a ministry to those who are handicapped. She has brought encouragement and hope to literally thousands of people. Where did that come from? It came because she took the focus off herself and on to the hope of Jesus, the living hope, the one who guaranteed her life forevermore. Amen. So my friends, I don't believe that God caused her to have be crippled, but I believe that God used it. And so he says in his word that he will turn all things out for good for those who love him. Amen. God wants us to live from heaven to earth, knowing what's in store for us. When you have hope, there's amazing things you can do. When you have hope in the living God, not in the things that perish, you'll have a deep satisfaction that nothing else could ever satisfy. And I stand here as a testimony to that fact. How many believe that's true? So, Lord, Paul, do you want to come? Father, I pray, Lord, that we will turn away from some of the things that really will never satisfy. We will not labor for bread, for things that is not really bread. We will not labor and seek things that really, in the end, will just fade away. But God, we will turn to you, and we will love you. And Lord, we'll bring our discouragement to you. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you open our eyes to show us our eternal destiny, They recognize that this walk on earth is just temporarily. And when we have trials, you use it to change us, to draw us closer to you. God, you are the God of hope. You are a living hope. And no matter what we face, you're with us. I thank you, Jesus. In your awesome, precious name. Amen.